The next session that we happen to have coming up here is a friend of mine from New Jersey, Nick Crocodilos.
Ooh, I don't know, man. New Jersey following Kentucky, hey. That might
That's
be like a rift in space-time.
Now, Nick is actually a famous author that does asktheheadhunter.com website. He's been doing headhunting and working in tech field and recruiting since before there was stuff
going on. Good, because I might need a job after
You never
you
know,
might.
Though.
Yeah.
He's been doing headhunting and also tech recruiting from before it was vogue to be able to be in tech inside the San Francisco Valley. So cool stuff there. His stuff is coming up here, and the question we have for him is?
The question on that one is, according to studies, how long do people take reading the top part of your CV?
Interesting. Naz, roll the video.
I'm Nick Crocodilos. I'm a headhunter, have been for a long time, started out doing this in Silicon Valley a long, long time ago. I also publish the AskTheHeadHunter.com website, which is basically a Q&A forum where I ask people to ask me the tough, in-your-face questions about job hunting, hiring, being successful at work. I've answered probably 40,000 questions from my readers, you know, hand-typing all the answers over the years, all by my lonesome. What I try to get across to people, and what I want to say to folks in the IT world is, technology is changing dramatically, and I know you're feeling some pain in your career because of that. The shifts that are happening, all those technology shifts are very, very real, and you've got to deal with them. But what I want to talk about is the bigger shifts that are happening in the world as far as your accountability to your own organization, to your career, to your industry, to what you do, and to how profitable a worker you are at your own company or wherever you think you want to go next. If you want to get the job that you want anywhere, you've got to be able to demonstrate. You've got to take the initiative to demonstrate how you are the profitable hire for your organization. So we all know about the changes going on in the IT world. I talk to IT folks who are clearly nervous is probably the friendliest word to use. They realize that so much is changing. And I think where they get stuck is they get so focused on what's changing in technology, which is obvious. You know, if you're a network administrator, if you work in break fix, you know, troubleshooting, you realize that automation, the cloud, is going to change your life dramatically because it's changing the life of your company, it's changing the life of your IT department, your customers, the whole world. So if you're thinking about your own career, your frustration is, what am I going to do next? How am I going to do it? Where's it going to come from? And the answer I give to people when I'm advising them as a headhunter is, it's not going to come from outside. It's not going to come from the job market. The job market nowadays, the employment system, as I refer to it, is so dominated by technology itself. Job boards. Jobs come out of databases. Job descriptions come out of databases. You're registered on LinkedIn. You're a bunch of data points. Companies want to hire someone. They go out to this data system and they match keywords. You want to get your keywords matched. So you're very, very focused on this almost reductionist system of getting yourself found. And it frankly doesn't work. You look at surveys that have been done by various companies, what they'll tell you is that somewhere around 10 to 20% of jobs actually get filled through these automated systems. We know intuitively, and the data show us, that most jobs get found and filled through personal contacts, which is obvious to everyone. And you look at companies tend to invest very little in actually hiring and recruiting that way. So you as the IT worker, when you see all these changes happening, you realize you need some more education, you need more experience, you need new skills, but that's not really the shift that I think people need to be focusing on. Not that that's trite, it's very important. You need to get more education, expose yourself to more technologies. Key thing that's happening as a shift, I think, today in the world is on the economic side. Companies are no longer just looking at what are we producing, how good is it, do our customers want to buy it. They're asking themselves, how accountable is everyone for it? What is the profitability component in what we're actually doing? And as an IT worker, I think everyone needs to bring that down to their level. Your board of directors is always asking, how profitable are we? Your management is being forced to ask that question down to the departmental level. I would argue that every individual worker, no matter what field you work in, and especially in IT, you need to ask yourself, what kind of profit does my work bring down to the bottom line? So when we start thinking about it on this level, people get scared. You know, IT people, technology people, I've recruited everything from hardware design engineers to VPs of engineering, CIOs, technology directors. They get very, very skittish when you start telling them, you need to understand the business model of your company and your industry if you want to be a profitable worker yourself. So How do we go about doing all this stuff? How do we go about viewing the world in a way that's going to make us more profitable and more useful to our companies? I look at it as a question of initiative. And I want to tell you a quick story about a guy that I worked with years ago who's he's been a manager for a long time. And he said to me, Nick, as a manager, I've made hundreds of hiring decisions during my career. And initiative by candidates, by job candidates in the hiring process, is breathtakingly rare. And I kind of sat back and I thought, you just gave me a line that I'm probably going to use a million times, buddy. But as you think about it, you ask yourself, what is initiative in the hiring process? You walk into an interview, you go out job hunting, what does it mean to demonstrate initiative? So here's a little scenario I'll toss at you. I'm a job hunter, you're the employer. Here I am with my resume. And I hand you my resume, I shove it in your face, and I say to you, here I am in all my glory. Where I went to school, if I'm young, my GPA perhaps, projects I've worked on, all the companies I've ever worked for, all the titles I've ever had, technologies I've worked on, my accomplishments, all my keywords, all the data points you need to make a decision about hiring me. So I hand you this document, and I give it to you. What does that action really constitute? What am I saying to you when I give you that resume? And when I talk about this in front of a live audience, I actually stop and I take answers from the audience. What does this action mean? They say, well, I'm telling you I want a job. I'm telling you I want to work for you. I'm telling you how great I am at what I do. No, it's a lot more fundamental than that. When I hand you that resume with all my wonderful attributes and credentials, what I'm really saying to you is, here I am, you go figure out what to do with me. You go figure it out. Managers that I work with, my own clients, will admit to me, we really stink at figuring out what to do with you based on this static document. And it is static. A resume is a dumb thing. I tell people all the time, you want a job? You want to advance your career? Take your resume, throw it in the garbage. Because your resume cannot defend you. And when a manager gets their hands on it, whether it's your own boss, someone else in your company, a new company you're going to talk to, they look at that and they'll typically spend, studies have shown, 30 seconds reading the top half of that document. And if it doesn't answer a question they want answered, it goes into the trash. You'll be not even a maybe, you become a no. So the question is, how do you get information about yourself across the people? How do you demonstrate the kind of initiative that makes a manager want to bring you in, talk to you, hire you, talk to you about a new kind of position? You take a step out, and let me give you another example. A guy I worked with that I've known for a long time told me he wanted to get a higher level position, a better job in his organization, doing something very, very different. He said, Nick, I've never really gone job hunting before or looking for new roles in my company. Things just kind of come along and I take them. So I gave him a little coaching. Here's what he did. Walks in, schedules a meeting with his boss, didn't tell him what the purpose of the meeting was. And he said, I need half an hour of your time, put me on the calendar. So he shows up, walks into his manager's office, doesn't even sit down, goes straight to the whiteboard and says, boss, I'd like to outline something for you, and then we can talk about it, and you can tell me what you think. Maybe I'm out of my gourd, maybe these are good ideas. So he goes to the whiteboard. Within 10, 15 minutes, this was not a complicated presentation, he outlines on the board his understanding of two or three problems and challenges the manager and the department were facing right now, next 6 month, 12-month time frame horizon. Under that, he briefly outlined his plan for how he was going to tackle those problems and challenges. In other words, what he was going to do, how he was going to make it happen. Third, he listed what he thought the positive outcomes would be of the whole thing. And then he drew a line. Mind you, 10, 15 minutes. He's down to the bottom, puts in a number underneath the line. And again, in a live audience, I always ask the audience, so what do you think this number represented? What was the number? And the common answers are, well, what it was going to cost. Real IT mindset. What's this going to cost? We're a cost center. It's the salary that he wants. So no, it's none of that stuff. He put in an estimate of what he thought he could bring in added profitability to the organization. That's what he did. So when his manager finished picking up his jaw off the floor, he said, sit, I'll be right back. Gets up, leaves the room, comes back with two other managers from the team. They adjourn across the hall into a conference room, close the door, roll up their sleeves, and they talk about what this individual had outlined on the board. What I want to point out here is not only was there no resume involved, there was no application involved, there wasn't even a job description that this person was going after. He had taken the initiative to figure it out for himself. And what he did in that meeting was not an interview. There was no job, there was no Q&A. They sat down, rolled up their sleeves, and I refer to it as a working meeting. They were talking shop. So we went from nothing to a request for a discussion with a manager to this individual demonstrating the initiative. And when I go back to my buddy who said, initiative, breathtaking initiative, it's breathtakingly rare. People don't do it. So what does it mean? It's what I just described. It's being able to tune yourself to the problems and the challenges your organization is facing, your department is facing, and then taking the initiative to sit down and figure it out. And I tell people, if you're going to do a resume and you're going to send it out, it ought to have this presentation on it. And then I ask them, what's the problem with this resume? It's a huge, enormous problem. You can only use it once. And how long is it going to take you to put that together? Especially if you're looking outside your company and you're talking, you want to go after a job in an organization that you don't know a whole lot about. This individual that I told you about spent 2 weeks doing nothing but research and study to try to figure out what are those two or three problems that I can address intelligently. How am I going to go about it? What's my plan? How can I reduce it down to not a resume, not an interview, but a mini business plan, which is what this individual really did. And again, I understand that I'm a headhunter. I work in the IT and technology field. And I know that a lot of tech folks feel intimidated by the idea of a business model, financials, a business plan. That's not what I do. The company worries about that. Profitability, the finance guys, the bean counters, my boss, let them worry about that. That's the radical shift that's going on in technology and in IT today. This concern about accountability, about whether you're a profitable worker or a profitable hire, has to reside in you. The beautiful thing about it is, now you can get away from what scares you the most. Which job postings am I going to go after? Where is the fit? How long am I going to wait? How many hundreds am I going to hit the enter key to apply for? You totally lose control. You're not going to find a job. The odds are so stacked against you because some machine, some algorithm is sorting through keywords, trying to match you to a job. So what does it mean to talk shop? It means to talk about what you're good at. You don't need to answer dopey questions. Managers don't need to ask dopey questions. And if you're in an interview or you've introduced yourself to someone and you're trying to get a ball rolling, one of the easiest things to ask is, tell me more about what you do in your operation. Again, my favorite question is, tell me what you're reading nowadays that's influencing the way you're doing your work, with cloud, with any kind of, whatever your organization is doing. Once you open up that door, you get very comfortable because you're talking about what you both do. It puts it on a peer level no matter who you're talking to. When we talk about talking shop, I think in terms of a question that people ask me all the time. If I'm gonna talk shop, what am I talking shop about? What is my objective here? You pick up any IT rag publication online nowadays, especially this time of the year, 2016, top articles. What are the top hot jobs of 2016 in IT? Security, cloud, all these great areas that you don't know anything about. So you ask yourself, what am I going to go pursue? Nick, what really is hot? What should I be looking at doing next? And my answer to that is, forget about what's hot. Hot is really not a definition. Because by definition, what's hot changes. 6, 12, 18 months, it's going to be something new. So really what's hot is you. Are you hot? And what does it mean to be hot? To me, as a headhunter, I want to know, can you ride a fast learning curve without falling off? Can you show me how you can do that? And can you talk about topics in an intelligent fashion? What that might mean is, you've set up a Linux box in your house. It might mean you've rented some time in the cloud. You can get all the resources you want for very little money and only buy what you need. You need to be doing this on your own test bed, fooling around and learning all you can. You might be taking courses. Maybe you're doing some online programs. Maybe you're talking to your buddies. When you're talking shop to people, by the way, in your own organization, you don't know much about cloud, go down the hallway, stick your head in the door. I hear you guys are doing X, Y, and Z. I'm curious, can you tell me a little more about it? What are you reading that's influencing you? What would you suggest I read to learn more about this kind of technology? This is how you get influenced by others and how you influence them. Because in the process, what you're saying to them is, I'm thinking about this stuff. Go to your boss. Suggest or request a half-hour meeting. Outline what you've learned. Ask questions, ask for input, and ask, how can I contribute to our bottom line? And by the way, talking about the bottom line, again, IT folks, technology folks, I don't understand anything about finance. There's nothing to stop you from looking up the finance manager in your organization, the finance director, and asking for a 20-minute meeting. The individual I described before who went and did that presentation to his boss, he went and met with the finance director first. And he said, look, I've got an unusual question to ask you, and frankly, I feel kind of uncomfortable because I don't know a thing about finance or money. Can we talk a little bit about how you look at our operation financially? Can we talk about what factors you think go into how our department contributes to the bottom line? And he said, finance guy closed the door, we sat down, big grin on his face. He said, I became his next best buddy in IT because I was asking a question that he worries about all the time. So I was able to educate him a little bit about the stuff that I know technically, and he was able to outline just three or four factors that he looks at when he's judging our department's profitability. So when I went to my boss and did my presentation, I was able to raise some of these issues, and we were able to talk about them intelligently. So the first question really is, what kind of initiative are you demonstrating? Because that's how you're going to be judged inside or outside your company. If you want a promotion, you want to move into a new area. Second, what kind of education are you getting for yourself? Survey was done out of Wharton School of Management down at UPenn recently, where they took a look at training and development budgets that companies across the country around the world have. The investment that companies make in training and development has dropped so precipitously over the past 10 to 15 years that it's almost not worth talking about what's left in that budget. So your obligation to yourself and to your company, anyone you want to work for, is to get yourself trained and developed. It's something you can take with you no matter where you go, so you've got to invest in that. Next, I think most important is who you know. I hate the term networking. A guy said to me, networking? That's icky. It's icky. And I know it's icky. It's mercenary. It almost seems like, you know, you're trying to get somebody to help you for nothing. You're wasting their time. When you talk shop with them, you walk up and you ask what someone is doing in their work, or you do a little study about them so you have something intelligent to ask, to discuss, to ask questions about, maybe offer a suggestion about. You open up a dialogue and then you relax because now you're talking shop. Now you're at the point where you can learn something valuable, make a new friend, and ask at the end of the conversation, hey, is there somebody else on your team? I really would like to learn more about this. I know you might not have time. Maybe it's not your expertise. Somebody else on your team you can suggest that I talk to who might be able to tell me a little bit more about it. Most people will give you a referral, but they won't give you a referral introduction on it. Could you take my resume and give it to your manager and see if there's maybe a job in your department? Say, oh. First thing that happens, it gets routed to the HR department, goes into the black hole, and you've just wasted your time. Plus, you feel icky, because asking someone to do you a favor like that ain't so nice. If you ask them to introduce you to someone who might be able to talk more shop with you, answer a few technical questions, we all love doing that. We all sharing our advice and we love sharing our insight, because it makes us feel a little bit more important. So when I suggest to technical folks how to do something that they're uncomfortable about, which is reaching out and meeting people, I realize there's a little bit of magic to it, but the magic is very, very simple. It's interpersonal relations. It's having just a couple of basic skills, a couple of techniques, tips about how to meet and talk to people. Talking shop is the way to open up that door. So we come back around to this whole question in IT of what's really shifting, and what's your obligation to yourself. I could be sitting here rattling off 10 terms and say to you, this is what you need to go study. Go get a credential, a certification in this area. Go get more skills and experience in that area. You might look at me and say, what are you, nuts? You're a headhunter. You don't know enough about this to be telling me what's hot and what to go. So I'm not even going to pretend, because I'm not going to recruit you because you can do X, Y, or Z. My client, after he hires you, or she hires you in 6 months or a year, doesn't want X, Y, or Z. They want to know that you're malleable, you're flexible, you can ride a learning curve, and that you're going to bring that initiative to the table and say, hey, you know what? I've been talking to a few people in the organization. I see what's going on in the industry and in the market, and I realize that economically, we're not going to be around in 2 years if we don't shift the way we're doing things. I might not have the answer, but I might get together with four of my buddies and have a couple of beers and say, hey, let's get together and talk about how we can improve our process flow. You know, we're network administrators, as an example. Software-defined networking is where the world is going. So how can we get together, form a study group, and learn something about this? Who can we bring in who might be an expert locally, who might teach us a bit? The word starts to get out that you're the person who's doing this kind of networking, fostering this kind of community and communication. You're on people's lips. your name is out there. People start to recognize who you are. The other big question I get asked, you know, on my Ask That Hunter forum or by my clients, my candidates, Nick, how do I stand out? There's a sea of people out there. There's a ton of resumes, billions of keywords that these algorithms are all sorting through. How do I make myself stand out? Take the initiative, learn to talk shop, be able to talk about profitability, ask intelligent questions, and care about where your organization is going, and care about what might sink it. So don't worry. Don't worry about your competition. Because like this individual I talked about who did the presentation, you don't have any competition if you're not applying for a job. So here's the secret. It's a Zen approach. How do you get over the huge mountain? You go over, you can go around, a lot of resources required for both. The answer is, there is no mountain. There is no job to apply to. There is no job posting, you have no resume. What there is you and the person who needs you to do a profitable job. But as I said before, they're not gonna take your resume and figure it out. They want you to figure it out for them. They want you to be that resource that they don't have right now, who comes up with the idea, who can state the problem in some intelligent way, formulate a possible path and approach. It's not going to be the right approach, but it's an approach, and you're indicating that you know how to think in those terms. And then finally, being able to show that you think about outcomes, and you can do a very superficial outcomes analysis of what your plan might be, your manager thinks, wow, if I have to put together a business plan for my boss, I can incorporate what this person just gave me. He or she has already done half the work. This is who I want on my team. So you want your boss to invest in taking a risk on you to do a different kind of technology? Give your manager a reason. Show that you're part of the effort to make things better and more successful. Because either you're contributing to the bottom line, I tell people, ask yourself whether your manager is contributing to the bottom line. Because if your manager isn't, your manager's gonna be looking for a job. So does this always work? Absolutely not. You will go to some employers and you will say, hey, I don't want to answer your questions about what I can do for you. I want to go up and show you what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to go up to the whiteboard and do a presentation. Whether it's your own boss or some other manager in another company, some of them are going to say to you, this is not how we do this. We have 10 questions. We want you to answer them. The only question you need to ask yourself is, do I want to work for somebody like this? That's the cold, hard fact. Not every organization is going to survive in this kind of economy, this kind of market. You want to work with someone who understands what it means for an employer, a job candidate, to walk in, having done the homework, having made a conscious choice. Because as we said before, if you want to do this resume that we're talking about, I call it the blasphemous resume. It's not a resume. This is an exercise I do with big groups of people. You want to know how to do the perfect resume. There are three rules. I'm going to tell you what they are. They're all do not rules. Do not list on your resume anything about your credentials, where you've worked, your academic credentials. Number two, don't list any job or title you've ever had. Don't list any accomplishments you've ever had. Number three, don't talk about anything relating to your past. And I said, this is not a goof, this is for real. You want to do a great resume? Follow these three do not rules. So then the trick question is, what do you put on this resume? My name, my email address, you know, why I'm wondering, I don't know. What you put on your resume is an outline, like this individual did at the whiteboard, that talks about the employer's problems, your organization's problems. You show what you know about them and that you've processed it, you've digested it, and you've come up with an idea and you want to present it. And there's a bottom line that says, here's why I'm your profitable candidate. And by the way, profit is not always money. If that makes you uncomfortable, how am I going to calculate the bucks? Forget about that. Profitability is success. It's advancing your organization's opportunities in the future. Customer satisfaction, efficiencies, lowering costs, helping generate more revenue, new product ideas. Whatever it is that's a benefit to the company, that's what profit means. So what I really would love to get across, if anyone listening to me gets one thing out of this is, number one, take initiative, don't wait. Number two, think in terms of being accountable and about your organization's profitability. And finally, don't be afraid to go talk to people. If I leave folks with one thing, you want a job, a particular kind of job that you want to go after? Here's the secret. The secret all boils down to one thing and it encompasses everything we just talked about. You have to be able to do all the things we talked about to do what I'm about to suggest to you. You want a certain kind of job? Go hang out with people who do the work that you want to do. That's all it's about. Go hang out with people who do the kind of work that you want to do. As you get to know them, they get to know you. they have enough data points to refer you and to make a recommendation to the manager who might hire you. So take the initiative. That's really what it's all about.
And we're back once again, TechNet's VC virtual conference here at TechNetVC.com. Rather interesting topic that tends to come up an awful lot in IT discussions, I would have to say.
I would say so.
And I'm very glad Nick took the time to be able to sit down with me and chat about this. We had a great time chatting. It was great having him out here. Mm-hmm. But don't forget, all these sessions will be available online, on demand, after the fact, at channel9.msdn.com. And also available through the different areas that you're watching us through with IT Dev Connections and throughout.com and other places like that, and Petri as well.
Right.
But we started off once again with a question to ask you a little bit of a trick to be able to get the drones and or phones. So five people are lucky winners that potentially might have it. What was the question again, MJ?
The question was, according to studies, how long do people take reading the top part of your CV?
Okay, not too bad. Now, we actually managed to get a hold of Nick himself over and joining us from New Jersey, I do believe. Is that correct, Nick?
That's correct.
So, based on what you said, how long do people spend actually reading the top portion of your CV, my friend?
You'll be shocked. Somewhere between 10 and 20 seconds. They read the top half. The top half of your resume doesn't, forget about your history and your experience and yep. what you've got in your background. If it doesn't address what the manager who's reading it is worried about, they put it down, they're done.
Wow.
Yep.
Now, you mentioned officially, because this is a contest, during our interview discussion, you said 30 seconds, I do believe. So that was the answer that we're looking for. But I agree. Sometimes it's less, sometimes it's more, based on how big the stack happens to be of people that's going off and asking questions.
I thought 30 was a lot, actually.
Yeah. 30 seconds is pretty good.
Yeah.
Now, Mary Jo was following the Twitter stream on TechNetVC hashtag, and she's noticed that there's a ton of questions that are there.
There are.
So why don't you go ahead and ask ask the first one to Mr. Nick here.
Yeah, great. So there are so many, and I was telling Rick earlier that I get asked these questions all the time, but I always tell people, hey, I'm a journalist. Like, what do I know about this? But you do know. So, I don't even know where to dig in. So many good ones. Phil, I like this one from Phil. I've been stuck behind the help desk for a couple of years. How do I escape?
Get up and move.
That's nice. Next you question.
Know, next.
here. When people talk about changing jobs, finding new opportunities, what I tell them is, if you were outside your company and you were trying to come in, okay, you want to make a change internally. If you were outside the company and you wanted to apply for a job at your company, you would give just about anything to be able to do what you can do. And that's get up, walk down the hall, stick your head in some other manager's office and say, hey, I heard you guys are working on such and such. Tell me a little bit more about it. Or, you know what? I'd love to come in and spend a little time with your team to learn more about what you guys do. So you can literally walk down the hall, across the parking lot. If you're at Microsoft, it might involve getting on a bus or your car. But you can walk into another manager's office and ask them more about what they do. It's how you introduce yourself. If you want to be on the radar for a new kind of job, you literally have to be in front of the manager. They have to know who you are. Just go express your interest.
And so that actually makes really great sense, because people that have, they're looking for progressing inside of a company is going to be a lot easier than going from the outside in, because they have that capability, right?
Right.
Indeed. And face-to-face matters so much more. It's become altogether too easy to zap out your resume, do an online application, do it, submit, as they say in HR, submit. Don't submit. Get out there and go talk to people.
Mm-hmm. I like a point you made in the video, because I know a lot of the people who I talk to in IT tend to be a little, sometimes shy, not everyone, but mm-hmm. sometimes. And you brought up the point, you know what? People love to talk about themselves and especially what they do,
yep.
right? You just get in front of somebody and say, wow, what do you do and how do you do it? Automatically, they're all eyes on you, right?
That, Mary Jo, that's absolutely it. When I started headhunting in Silicon Valley, I work primarily with engineers. Mm-hmm. And of course, the stereotype is engineers are asocial. They've got no social skills. IT people say bunk.
Total bunk.
I think what you find is when people start talking about their work, the mm-hmm. barriers come down. You suddenly realize, oh, I don't have to be some kind of a networker. That's icky. I don't want to do that. It's uncomfortable. I'd rather just talk about what I do. Mm-hmm. So ask the other person something about what they do. Once they start talking, you get into a dialogue. And it just rolls from there. It's as easy as sitting in the cafeteria and somebody walks up, sits down, hello, start chatting.
You just gave away one of my good secrets. Whenever I have to go off to any kind of a social event, like I was at the Windows Weekly meetup last night, and I'm more of an introvert than actually extrovert, going off and talking to people. I rely on people to come and talk to me. Yeah. So my edge that I use, just like you just mentioned there, Nick, is I go off to individuals and I say, so what do you do, man? What's your passion? And then we talk, and I get to sit there and listen.
Yep.
That's it. That's really it, Rick.
Nice. We have one here from Cody, who's asking us, since many businesses require just an application and a resume, how can I show initiative to get hired? How can I stand out?
Don't follow the rules. Break the rules. The only reason they require an application and a resume is because HR is running the whole hiring and recruiting process.
Oh, yeah?
In fact, they don't really run anything. They're processing keywords. They're processing paper. They're not. You don't want them processing you. What you really want to do is identify either a manager, an employee. I call it triangulating. If you want to get into an organization, ask yourself, what department would you want to work with? Who's the manager? You don't know. So start triangulating. Who probably does business with this department? Mm-hmm. Who are their customers? Who are their vendors? Who are their consultants? Try to hook up with somebody who knows something about the organization and people in it. Get yourself an introduction. Just go talk to them.
Good point. Very, very good point. Mm-hmm. Anything on the Twitter stream you wanted to ask there that's for pressing questions or any other questions you've heard in the past you wanted to ask?
I saw an interesting question from Bala on the stream.
Okay.
He or she has multiple questions, but one is, how many pages should a resume be for a 10-year IT person?
How long should your legs be? So they touch the ground, right? Again, I don't care. As a headhunter, I've seen resumes that were a page, resumes that were literally 30 pages.
Wow.
Is a 30-page resume necessary or any good? Well, if you're a scientist and you got a raft of publications as long as your arm, maybe mm-hmm. you need it. The bottom line is you have to ask yourself, does your resume tell the manager who's reading it what the manager needs to know to make the decision and the choice to bring you in to talk to you? So make it as long as it needs to be, but don't think of your resume as a recitation of everything in your background. I don't want to know everything in your background. What I want to know is, do you know enough about me and about my business so that you can put things in your resume out of a huge constellation of all your skills, credentials, you know, whatever it is you've got in your background? Pick the stuff that I really need to know about and focus on that. So don't worry about making it encyclopedic. Mm-hmm. So maybe your resume needs to be a page, page and a half, 2 pages, whatever it needs to be that you need to get across to me, make it that long.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Actually, I've got, Davey's got a question here. He's actually asking me, I'm going to tie into what you just said there for a second there. Davey's asking me, what did I do to get started doing what I'm doing now? And, you know, just happened to be in the right spot at the right time, sort of. But you mentioned the resume. I actually had a 2-page resume, and I went not just with, I didn't go with skills or job expertise at the very top. I went with something different. What do I want to do? What I think I can offer the company? Here's some cool stuff that I've done. And then I went into the traditional kind of stuff. But I actually had a 58-page document that was an appendix.
Wow.
That if they wanted to, I could show them.
Wow.
So basically during the, I've gotten past the 5-second screening, now I've got a face-to-face talking to someone. After I'm talking to someone, I can then say, well, if you really want to know, because I've been a hired gun consultant for 10 years, here's all the projects that I've worked on and all the skills that I've done in these different projects. You can see them, but I never showed that mm-hmm. unless they asked for it. And occasionally a couple people did. They did want to see it.
Well, and what that triggers, Rick, is that there's this idea that you have to use a resume to get yourself in the door. In fact, you don't have to use a resume to get yourself in the door. We get so stuck on the idea that this is what the employer is expecting. You should have two kinds of resumes, or there are two times when you should use a resume. Mm-hmm. And the first time, you shouldn't do it, so there's only one. You should never introduce yourself to a company with just a resume. A resume can't defend you. It's a dumb document. It's a bunch of words. Manager gives it 30 seconds, doesn't like it. You're dead. You don't have any choice from there. The only time to use a resume, and here's the challenge to everybody, you should only hand someone your resume or send them your resume after you've already had some kind of substantive contact with them. You've talked to them on the phone, a few email exchanges. Maybe you met on some discussion forum. Maybe you're in some kind of a training program through another contact. Once you've had some kind of contact with the person you want to send your resume to, then it's okay to send them, because now they're just to send it, because now they expect it and they're looking for that information. Otherwise, if you send it cold, they don't really know what to do with it.
Yeah.
So only send it when you've had some other kind of contact with the person, and make that your challenge. If you don't have contact, find a way to make it.
Mm-hmm. Very, very valid points, my friend. Now, for people that want to get a hold of you and find out more stuff about what you actually do and what you talk about, how can our audience go ahead and connect up with you after this?
AskTheHeadHunter.com is the website. Actually, I do most of my publishing now on my blog, which is Corcadillas.com/blog, but you're not going to remember that. So go to AskTheHeadHunter.com and click on the blog link.
Yep.
Where we discuss these topics all day long, literally. Post your questions. I'm here to answer them.
Nice. And I assume you've also got like a nice newsletter they can sign up for as well?
There's a weekly newsletter that's now, I think, up to issue 612.
Oh.
Been doing this for 12 or 13 years. It's free.
Nice.
Again, go to AskTheHeadHunter.com, click on the subscribe link, name, email address. You'll start getting it every Tuesday morning.
Nice. So you better be prepared because you're going to get Mary Jo asking you all sorts of questions.
I know,
she gets asked online. So you know what's going to be coming up. Nick, thank you very much for taking the time for hanging out
with
us. We've got our next speaker. It's going to be coming up in just a moment.